Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week's episode, I kind of wanted to talk about the people who you surround yourself with and how that can massively impact not just a calorie deficit, but your lifestyle as well. Okay. Your vibe attracts your tribe, and I'm such a big believer in that phrase that if you hang around with 4 millionaires, you'll become the fifth. If you hang around with 4 deadbeats, you'll become the fifth. Okay. But before I jump into that, I obviously want to do just my weekly roundup in regards to my calorie deficit. So the scale has been dropping consistently, which is great. But again, it won't be before long that I could hit a stall or there is a fluctuation. The last 2 weeks now, I haven't had any fluctuations. And I, excuse me, I actually got my period yesterday. Today is Monday, so I got it on a Sunday, and it was nearly a week early. So I was feeling quite off last week. I was getting headaches. I was feeling bloated. I was fatigued and stuff. Like, there was a day where I just didn't go to the gym, and I just stuck to my deficit just because I just didn't feel the best. So I just listened to my body, but I didn't think, oh yeah, well, it's the week before my period, so that's why I'm feeling this way, because I still thought it was a good bit away, but obviously that's why I didn't feel so good. But there was no fluctuations on the scale, and usually when there is a fluctuation and it's close to my time of the month, like, it's self-explanatory. But yeah, it's been consistently dropping, which obviously is good, but you're never too far from a few fluctuations either. It is rare that it drops. It hasn't dropped daily now. Like, it will drop and then it might stay the same then for 2 or 3 days without a fluctuation. Then I might get another drop. But yeah, I've just been consistent. Like, there's no magic formula. Well, the magic formula is being consistent. There's no shortcuts. I've been going to the gym, I've been doing my workouts, and I've been staying in my deficit, and I've been hitting 120 to 150 grams of protein. Obviously haven't been eating as much carbs as I was in my maintenance phase, which can cause you to carry a little bit more water. So the scale obviously stabilizing, or the more carbs isn't contributing to any fluctuations. So I'm keeping my carbs nice and controlled. So I'm usually eating about 150 to 170, depending on whether it's a training day or not. And yeah, obviously haven't been drinking since the day after New Year's, because I was at a wedding. So it was day two of the wedding, and that's obviously helping. So even though when I am in a calorie deficit, I probably only drink, 2 or 3 times over like a 12-week period, this is obviously helping. There's no like excess calories. There's no lying in bed the next day and feeling like shit. But I am currently at 59.0 today, and I started this calorie deficit at 61.0. Okay, so I've lost 4 pounds, and I started week 6 today. And obviously, I went on a 4-day holiday, and I had a period as well in the first couple of weeks, so that caused the scale to go up to nearly like 63 kg. But that was obviously a lot of water from traveling and stuff like that. And then it eventually leveled off, and all my efforts are being repaid. But that's where I'm at the moment. Nothing's been changed in my plan. I'm still working with my coach, who I've worked with since 2021, I think. 2022, sorry. And then we took a break after my fitness photo shoot for a good few months. And then I got back working with him then. When I returned from Australia last year, I got back working with him in the May. Went into a calorie deficit, then maintained, and now I'm back into a calorie deficit. So I plan to finish up on the start of April. So there's still about 8 weeks to go, and hopefully, drop about for another 4 kg by then, and that'll get me down to maybe 55, 56. So I do remember I'm going for more of a look rather than a goal weight, and I've obviously put on a lot more muscle since I did my photo shoot. And I remember on my journey to the day of my photo shoot, I know I'd bring this up quite frequently, but it was such a monumental time in my life, especially in terms of physique. But I remember seeing myself at 55 kg in, because I think it was 52 on the day of the photo shoot. So I remember seeing, like, obviously I was sending pictures every week, and I remember seeing myself at 55 kg, and I was like, okay, that's like the holiday look that I like. Okay, it's not really kind of a look I want to maintain all year round, because I do like having fun. I do like going out for food and stuff like that, and I like holidays and stuff. So it's very hard to maintain that if you're going away multiple times a year, because you do overindulge when you're on holiday. But I was like, that's the holiday that look that I like, the 55 kg range. And then the weight that I'm at now, like 60 to 62, like that's like the kind of like winter weight that I like to maintain because, you know, your body's covered up. You have room for a bit more food. You're in a phase of building more muscle and stuff like that. But my body could actually look completely different now when I'm at 55 kg because the last time I was that weight was probably, you know, it'd be nearly 2 years by the time I finish up this deficit. Like it was 2024 May when I did that photo shoot. So it'd be 2 years this May. And that's, you know, close enough to the time where when I will finish up this deficit, which will be mid-April. And I've obviously put on muscle since then, you know. So I could be 55 kg, but if I removed the muscle that I've gained, for example, I could, you know, weigh 52 kg if you know what I mean. But the muscle is bringing me up to 55 kg, so I could look completely different. Like I've been still working hard in the gym since, you know, it's a weekly thing for me, and it's been 2 years since my photo shoot, so I could look, you know, more toned, more lean, etc. So it'll be exciting to see how that looks. And I send him pictures every week. There's probably not enough of a difference right now from day one of this deficit until now, because it's only been about probably 4 pounds, you know. Like I think maybe when you start losing 8 to 9 pounds, you can kind of start to see a bit of a difference, specifically around like the waist area and the legs and stuff like that, and definitely the face. But yeah, that's where we're at. Cardio's still the same, calories are still the same, and yeah, basically, if it's not broke, don't try fix it. So this week, I wanted to focus on. I think I did an episode before on support systems. So support systems are obviously the people that you surround yourself with. Okay, so it's kind of similar to that episode, but it's more about, I suppose, the things that you consume on a daily basis, the people that you surround yourself with, the environments that you're in. Like they massively impact you, okay? Because when I think about the people I surrounded myself with in my mid-20s, I thought they were, you know, they're probably still decent people. Jesus, I'm not trying to take that away from them, but their idea of fun would be going out getting pissed on the weekend. And, you know, 10 years later, that's probably still their idea of fun. Like they never grew out of that. Whereas I kind of got to a point where I was like, I need to grow out of this because I don't like how I look in the mirror and I don't like how I feel anymore. So if you're the only person in your group that feels like that I actually have to change, but all your friends are still stuck in that mentality, that can make it so much tougher when you want to change your life. Because I know we all have our own stuff going on, and when you're in your 20s, basically you don't really see your friends that much. But when you do see them, sometimes it can just be revolved around going out, going on the piss, or you know, going to the local takeaway, or sorry, the local Chinese, ordering 3 courses, all the sides and stuff like that, and then you're getting ridiculed because you actually want to moderate your eating and you want to moderate your meal and stuff like that, and you're getting a hard time. Or if you're going out and you're not drinking, you're called like a bore bag and stuff like that. And you kind of start thinking to yourself, like, right, what do these friends bring to the table? Are they aligning with who I want to be, or are they dragging me back to who I want to get away from, which is the old version of you, you know? So I have like just kind of bullet points here on my phone so I don't veer off track, which I'm known to do. I love going off in a good tangent. But, you know, people are probably expecting me to do an episode on 10 best foods to help with your calorie deficit and stuff. But sometimes it's not about the food. Sometimes it's not about the cardio or the steps or the best exercise to grow your glutes. Sometimes it's about outside factors. Okay, the external factors that can actually impact your journey to changing yourself, even if you're not in a calorie deficit, even if you actually just want to improve your mental health. Okay, so let me just get up this list here. So studies basically show that who you spend the most time with can influence your habits and your pace of fat loss more than willpower alone. Okay, so I'm just going to use myself as an example. I know I briefly touched on it there. So I remember I still have friends that I would have hung around with a lot in my mid-20s, and I see them from time to time now. And it's great to just kind of catch up with them and go for a Nando's and stuff like that. But I know that if I was to religiously see them all the time, I would start to kind of know it was a contrast. And I mean that from a sense of like I've outgrown that lifestyle that they're still in. Like they look at you and they think you're abnormal for how you live, and you're looking at them thinking they're abnormal for how they live, but they've never experienced your life. Do you know what I mean? Like your lifestyle, but you've experienced that lifestyle, and if you've experienced this lifestyle that you're in now, and you know which one benefits your mental health more and your physical health more. But the thing is, they've never had a taste for that. They're living with all they know. Okay, all they know is just getting pissed, eating crap, being sedentary, complaining about their job, complaining about their relationships, and they never do anything about it, okay? They say a lot, but they don't do a lot, and that can kind of be mentally draining. So it's nearly up to you at the end of the day to be like, okay, do I kind of keep these as an acquaintance and I just, break away from the pack, or do I stay here and I suppose nearly make myself worse, make my lifestyle worse? Sometimes people don't have the capacity to think like that, and they have that fixed mindset. I am the way I am, and I'll never be able to change, And you even see like grown adults, like, in their 40s, 50s, and they're gamblers, they're drinkers, they take drugs every weekend because they're surrounded by people who never kind of like pulled them up and be like, cop the fuck on. Because they're surrounding themselves with people who enable it, They're like, oh, this is, you're the life and soul of the party. Let's go out this weekend, have a laugh. Like, that's their idea of a laugh, because they've never had a taste of what life is like beyond that, beyond artificial dopamine, when you actually start improving yourself and honor the promises that you make to yourself. So I'm gonna just kind of break down like the core concepts, all right? So why your circle matters. So social accountability and norm setting, all right? People model behaviors that feel normal. Okay, so again, that kind of group mentality, well, if these are all doing it, I'll do it. And then before you know it, 5, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years have passed, and you're no better off. Your health is in a worse state. You've no muscle. You don't have a clue about what a calorie or a macro is, but you know how many shots it takes to get you drunk. You know who to text if you're looking to stay out late at night after a night out. You wake up the next day feeling like shit. You know the best way to try to end a hangover or to try cure it. Okay, that's all you know. Okay, and especially it goes. I suppose the home that you grow up in impacts you a lot as well. So sometimes we can't turn around and blame the home that we grew up in, okay? Because when we become an adult, it's up to you to make that change. It's up to you to make that transition because you're a grown adult, okay? You look after yourself now. So pointing fingers at other people like, you are the way I am, or you are the reason I am the way I am. Okay, it's very easy to say that when you're a kid or a teenager, but when you're a grown adult and you have responsibilities and you have to feed yourself and take care of yourself, it's up to you to come to that realization that this is not the life for me, which is, my family, like even now, like they're downstairs and they've ordered a takeaway and stuff like that. And I've already made my dinner. I've already tracked my calories for today and my macros and stuff like that. But they wouldn't have a clue about any of that, Doesn't make them bad people, but that's all they know. And I remember living like that where my mother would cook my dinner and it'd be like fish fingers, waffles, beans, like not an ounce of protein in it. And I think I only learned how to cook properly when I was 25, 26. I'm 23 now, and if I didn't know how to cook and if I didn't take that initiative to actually learn how to do that, I'd probably be down there now eating takeaways with them, So it is, you do have to take some initiative and be like, this life is not serving me anymore. What can I do about it? But again, not everyone has the capacity to think like that. And what I would say is exposure to healthier habits. Okay, so sometimes, like I said, the people that you have in your life, they might not practice healthy habits. All right, like I probably have one friend who's like mad into the gym, and believe it or not, like they actually inspired me to start watching fitness YouTubers, and that's what inspired me to actually change my life. So if you don't have friends who are involved in any of that, okay, who you follow on social media is going to impact your life as well, okay? The things you read, the things you watch, the people you surround yourself with, it all matters, okay? So if you're not being exposed to healthy habits in your current life, and I'm talking about that from like people in your life, like your immediate family or friends, online can be a great source of help. Like I remember when I was doing my fitness photo shoot, when I was training for a marathon, I'd be on my coaching page and my whole timeline would just be so much inspirational stuff, like people achieving their goals, people smashing their goals, like these really inspirational quotes. Seeing someone's transition from day one to day 100 or day 365, like it was so motivating, and it really, really puts a fire in your belly. And you're like, oh my God, like this person started from nothing. This person started when they were like 150 kg, and now they're down to like 10 stone. You know, they're down to like 50, 60 kg. And it's like, if they can do it, I can too. All right. And you know, watching fitness YouTubers' online content, and like they're breaking information down for you in bite-sized pieces, so it's not complex and it's not overwhelming. And you're like, oh, so that's all I have to do if I want to get from point A to point B, if I want to change myself. Because if you surround yourself with people who still read and listen to toxic diet culture, you're not allowed to eat bread, you can't do this, you have to run 20 times a week. Like, of course that's going to be overwhelming. Of course that's going to deter you from wanting to change. But when you actually watch content online or speak to someone in person who's been through it, and they're like, no, I've been through it in a sustainable and a healthy way, you're like, no, it actually isn't overwhelming. And it's the people that I've been surrounding myself with, and the stuff I've been consuming or reading or listening to, etc., that's been damaging my relationship with diet culture, okay? Toxic diet culture, I should say. So when you've only been exposed to like toxic diet culture, like, you know, those smoothie diets where you drop a stone in 2 weeks, or you have to do seven spin classes for 7 days for 4 weeks, like these really unsustainable approaches. And of course you're not going to go want to back. You're not going to want to change yourself when you still have PTSD from the last diet. But when you actually start surrounding yourself with someone who knows how to do it in a healthy way, in a sustainable way, and you know, has a bulletproof mindset, has been through the mill, and can give you advice about that. Like I said, if you don't have anyone in your life personally, online is a great source of information and inspiration. And you know what? If it wasn't for social media, I know it has its cons, but it has its pros as well, because it's a big bad world out there, but it's also full of people who have smashed their dreams and have achieved their goals and have, you know, gone through the woods and come out to the other side, and they have visual proof of that. And it inspires you. Sometimes when people are like, oh, I wasn't motivated this week, honestly, who you follow on social media matters a lot, all right? If you're following these influencers who just come across as absolutely perfect all the time, and they're face-tuning their photos, and you know, they're photoshopping their figure, etc., and they're coming across as absolutely perfect, no flaws whatsoever, of course you're gonna think, you know, about the destination that you want to get to. It's gonna feel impossible. Like, look a whore, like I still have a mountain to climb. I'm never gonna be able to get like that. Like, you're beating yourself up instead of thinking, okay, how can I start my journey in a sustainable and healthy way? And I know it's gonna take a long time to get there, but you know, taking the first step means I'm one step closer to that destination, you know? And then emotional support aligned with your goals, okay? So encouragement during setbacks. So that's where, you know, having a coach for accountability can help massively. Like sometimes I feel with my clients, I'm their biggest cheerleader, okay? Like sometimes your coach is your biggest cheerleader. They're the only one in your life that understands what you're going through. And that's why sometimes when you don't have people around you who share the same vision that you do, or they want to change their life the way you do, sometimes your coach is the only person that can relate to that. Okay. And it's heartbreaking sometimes when you're doing check-ins, and it's like, I was out with my friends this weekend, and they made me feel like crap because I didn't want to drink, or they kind of made a big deal out of me just wanting a main course. And you know, it's so-and-so's birthday, like live a little, will you? Like, you know, making a really big deal out of it, making a really big scene out of it. Like, if someone was to order three pizzas for themselves, do you think someone would point it out? No, they wouldn't, because that would be wrong. That would be mean. That would be seen as bullying. Like, oh, look at you over there trying to, you know, trying to go about your obesity journey. Leave some food for the rest of us. Like, nobody would say that because it sounds fucking bizarre, okay? But you're well able to turn around to your friend and say, oh, eating your salad and your chicken again, are you? Well, even though I'd never order a chicken salad in a restaurant, I just order something that would align with what I like, and just be mindful. You know, look at your one over there not eating a starter or main and dessert and all. Jeez, there'd be nothing left to you, and you're gonna fade away to nothing and live a little, will you? Jesus, you only live once. But it's okay for someone to say that, you know? So that's why I just don't like the double standards. So sometimes having a coach is great for emotional support, or having a friend who's going through the same journey with you, okay? But if you don't have a friend like that, Even going to a gym, gym classes, like circuit classes, boot camp classes, or a run club, you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people, and it does matter a lot, and it impacts you rather than trying to go it alone, okay? Because if you go through it alone and you're someone who suffers with setting boundaries, of course you're gonna give in to temptation, okay? You're gonna fall at the first hurdle because you've no emotional support behind you. You've no one kind of like egging you on to be like, no, stick to your goals and, look what's at stake here and, honor the promise that you made to yourself. The only people you have in your ear are the people telling you, live a little. It's a fucking pizza. Like, screw the calorie deficit. Like, it's one day and then one day turns into 2 days and one weekend turns into every weekend. These people don't have your best interests at heart. They're just focusing on them enjoying the situation and not you, okay? And then number two, signs you've outgrown your current circle. So this will happen. You will have friends that you grow up with and or that you've grown up with, and suddenly it starts to get to this kind of crossroads where it's like, this person doesn't align with where I want to go in life. They're very narrow-minded, they're small-minded, they have that kind of fixed mindset. Like, do you have people in your life where you go to an idea and they're like, ah, would you relax there? Like, that's never gonna happen. And you wanna start a business. Okay, and what about the 1 million steps that you're gonna have to go through to get that? That's them projecting. That's them. That's the voice inside their head whenever they wanna try succeed with something. Okay. Similar to that person that I was speaking about, that might have a gambling addiction, a drug addiction, a drink addiction, all those three things, that they practice every weekend. They've never had someone tell them, like, you can be better than this, like, you can outgrow this, you can be whatever you want to be if you put your mind to it. And because they've never had, I suppose, people like that in their life, they're narrow-minded, they're small-minded, they're never going to think that they can reach for the sky. They just live under the ceiling thinking, this is who I am, this is the way I'm always going to be, okay? So if you surround yourself with people like that and you're going to them with like your dreams and ambitions and they're shooting you down and telling you're being unrealistic, cop on, that's never going to happen. You need to kind of take a step back and be like, is this person, what's this person bringing to the table for me? Because at the moment, all it is someone to drink with. Okay, all it is someone to go for food with, because they certainly aren't helping with my ambition, with my drive, with my goals. I don't like their mentality. If anything, I feel mentally drained after I leave a conversation with them or after I leave their company. Sometimes people are just, I suppose, someone to kind of just check in on every now and then. They might post a picture of their pregnancy online or an engagement. You like it, you congratulate them, and that's the extent of it. Doesn't mean you block them, you delete them, you cut them off completely, but just slowly distance yourself from people like that because they do rub off on you. Okay, it's like, I suppose it's like, I don't know, I actually don't have an analogy like for that one. Frequent derailment due to social plans that conflicts with routines. So, like, similar to that situation where, those group of friends who only go out on the drink, okay? They can't do anything else. They can't go for a walk or they can't go for coffee. The only time you see them is when they want to go out on the drink, okay? And you find that your goals are suffering because you're trying to please other people. So you're going out with them because you can't say no. You're down in six cocktails. You're 1,000 calories over your calorie deficit now. You end up falling into the kebab shop. And this has happened on a frequent basis. And then you're turning up to your coach every week. You're turning up to your coach every week and they're like, what's going on here? Like, you're not dropping weight. And you're like, oh, but I was out with my friends the weekend. Okay, your friends don't seem to give a shit about your best interests and about what you want and about what you're trying to do with your life. So, you have to look at your circle from that point of view. Like, are they impacting my calorie deficit because I don't have boundaries? Feeling fatigued or resentful after social events that center on old habits. So, for example, these group of friends like that might have a negative impact on you, okay? Like, before you go out with them, you're like, oh, I always know how this goes. We end up getting pissed, even though I tell myself I'm just gonna have one or two. And I tell myself I'm not gonna fall into the kebab shop, and then I always do. And you wake up the next day and you're beating yourself up. You're like, I knew what I was signing myself up for with that. Why did I go out with them? It happens every time. It's like reading the same book and expecting a different ending, okay? So look at another group of friends that you might have where you go for a coffee with them or you go for a walk and you actually feel fulfilled after it. You feel inspired, you feel motivated. You're like, oh, do you know what? I'm so glad I went out on a walk with Mary because she said, like, she wants to get into hill walking now, and so do I. And, she was talking to me so much about what she's learned about macros and calories. And I actually learned something from that conversation, or I felt inspired. And she was telling me, you should do it, and you're like, you should. start that social media page. And you know, everyone's doing it now. It's the best way to start a business. You know, you're hitting more people. You're not just in a physical shop anymore where, you know, only the same 10 people walk by your door every day. Like, you're exposing yourself to millions. It's such a great business idea. And then you sit around the people who just drink every weekend and they're like, "Ah, you're mad. Setting up a social media page? Ah, you're mad." Like, small-minded people, fixed mindsets versus growth mindsets. Okay, that's when you have to start analyzing your circle. Who are the people that you actually enjoy being around? And you leave, you know, that circle of friends feeling fulfilled, even if it's only one person. Excuse me. So, benefits of upgrading your circle. Okay, faster habit formation through contagious behaviors. So, sitting around friends who drink all the time, don't do anything with their life, versus sitting around people who are self-employed. They have to work for themselves. You know, they're content creators. They invest in equipment to upload stuff on social media to expand their business. They go to events and they network with people. They might bring you as a plus one so you can network with other people as well. They might loan you your equipment so you can start that social media page. They will go out on a run with you because they're a seasoned runner. They ran marathons. They want to help you. They want to educate you. People like that are going to help you stick to your habits. People who've been through it before. Like, for example, I have one friend again that would be mad into the gym like I am. And he said to me, he's like, "Enya, I have no one else in my life who's done a fitness photo shoot before." And, you know, this is a guy, like, if he is listening to this, is a guy who did like 3 seasons in Ibiza, like, had a good time when he was over there, like, you know, drank, partied, etc. And now he's at home now. He has his own place. And he looked at me and he said, "If Enya can do two fitness photo shoots, then so can I." I inspired him to do it because there's someone in his life who, you know, grew up in the same area as him. Like, we went to school together, and he looked at me and thought, you know, there's a lot of people in my life who haven't done this and never will and have never been to the gym and don't look after their body or their lifestyle. But Enya is my inspiration for this because she's living proof that someone who came from the same upbringing that I did can achieve something like that. Okay, so that's inspiration. So in your life, look at someone who might be where you want to be. And there has to be at least one person. It might be in your job. It might be someone that you follow online that you could be close to. You might have gone to school with them, or it could be someone that you've grown apart from because you were stuck in bad habits and they outgrew you, okay? And now you're looking at them thinking, "Jesus, look where their life is." Like, they look so much better off. More constructive feedback and accountability. So again, going into rooms with people that you aspire to be like, not physically going into the same room, but again, similar, speaking to people that you want to be like. So, for example, I used to be someone like, obviously, I have a comedy career, and I used to be someone where I didn't like reaching out for help or asking other comedians for advice and stuff like that because I was like, "Oh, I don't want people to know like I've reached out for help." And you know, going through something like that alone is hard because two heads are better than one. So, you know, I reach out to other comics. "Hey, what do you think of this joke? Do you think this would go down well? Do you have any advice on how I can make it better or any constructive feedback?" And I have to say, like, my shows and my content is so much better because I've asked other people for feedback or I've asked them for help. On my coaching page, I've followed other runners. I've asked them for tips. "Hey, you know, my pace isn't increasing. Do you have any idea why? Any tips for running in the heat? Any tips for running in the rain? What do you do when you just have a really, really bad run?" You know, just having the balls to reach out to people who you aspire to be like, and having a coach as well, okay? Having a coach as well and getting constructive feedback. Be okay with not being perfect. Be okay with that and accept constructive feedback. Doesn't mean that you're failing. It's there to make you a better person, okay? It's there to make you better at the person that you want to become. And shared goals and compatible schedules. So, for example, training buddies and meal prep crews. So, or you know, hitting two boards with the one stone, catching up with your friend while meal prepping, a running buddy. Like, I did a lot of marathon training on my own. But I do have to say, the amount of people who reached out to me online and they were so helpful, and you know, they'd spur you on, strangers. Like, none of my friends run, so I knew I couldn't get it from them. But you'd be surprised the people that reach out and try to help you. Like, it is. And surrounding yourself, like, if you do want to be a runner, join a run club, because if you're doing it on your own and you don't have friends who are runners, it can feel really, really tough mentally. And you will tend to get your arm twisted when it's like, oh, come on out tonight. And you're like, no, I have a run tomorrow. And it's like, ah, it's grand. You'll be grand this week. If you don't have a coach, I had a coach. So he'd be checking in with me every week. And he'd be like, did you do those 3 runs? And I'd be like, oh, no, I went out last night, so I couldn't do my long run today. He'd be like, okay, well, good luck getting your sub 4.5 hour marathon, because that's not going to cut it. So, you know, having a coach like to kind of be on your back does help massively instead of going it alone. Boundaries versus estrangement. Okay, point number four. So, how to set love and clear boundaries without burning bridges. So, I kind of touched on it briefly, but distancing yourself from friends, but not cutting them off completely, like not blocking them. Again, they can still be acquaintances. You can pop out with them for food or a Nando's, but actually just have the balls to turn around and say, look, I'm kind of distancing myself from the drinking culture at the moment. Like, I want to lose a bit of weight. It's good for me headspace. Would you prefer to go on a walk instead of Eddie Rockets? And if this is someone who doesn't like walking and they're like, ah, oh, would you fuck off you with your walking and all? I wouldn't walk from here to my car. Well, then that's their issue, okay? Don't bring yourself down to their level to please them. All right. If they really, really want to see you, they'll bring themselves up to please you, okay? And you know, if you put these two things side by side, who's going to benefit out of this more? All right, your friend who doesn't want to walk is going to benefit from walking. Okay, you're not going to benefit from going to Eddie Rockets during your calorie deficit and ordering a double Whopper burger and loaded fries. Okay, that other person's going to benefit more from the walk with you. Look at it like that. So, what I'd like you to do is to set a little kind of journal for yourself or an audit. Okay, so audit your social calendar for the next 4 weeks, right? And I want you to identify one to two high impact relationships to nurture, right? So people who maybe haven't spoke to, I'm not talking about kind of the negative influences, like people who you've drifted away from because they've tried to improve their life and you know, you were at a time where you didn't want to improve your life, you were happy where you were with the eating habits and the not exercising and not looking after yourself and stuff. And these people kind of evolved, you know, and they became a runner or they became a gym goer or they've, you know, improved themselves or they started a new business, okay? And try to nurture those relationships, try get back in touch with them and then also audit one or two relationships to reduce. All right, who are the bad influences in your life? And I know you're probably thinking to yourself, one of them is my mother. All right, so and I still live with them. So if that is the case, that's where strong boundaries have to come into place, and you need to just set the tone and set the record straight and be like, look, I know you think bread is illegal, when you're in a calorie deficit, or they might not even know what the words calorie deficit is. Okay, they just think you have to cut out X amount of foods and live in spin classes all week to drop body fat. Okay, you just sometimes it's like opening a can of worms to some people, and you get a lecture off people who haven't the fucking slightest clue about fat loss. They think they're the experts. Okay, you just have to say, I'm working with a coach, I'm looking to improve my life. Okay, and that doesn't involve eating donuts morning, noon, and night. Okay, so if I don't want a donut, you just have to accept that. It doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't mean that I have an eating disorder. It just means that I'm moderating my calorie intake. Okay? And you have to respect that. All right? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about your mother. Create an influence map, right? So, which activities and conversations push you toward your goals? All right? So, do you ever sit around some people and all they do is just talk about people? Okay, look at your one doing this and scarlet for, and that's a cringe fest, and talking into the camera day in, day out, and all. Who do you think you are? People like that drain me. It's like, sorry, do you think you're an oil painting? What's so special about you? What do you bring to the table? What are you doing with your life? What makes you so perfect? At least that person's trying to do something, they're trying to inspire other people. Okay, so yeah, just an influence map is in, like, that could come down to the people that you follow on social media. Okay, because if you notice that when I started liking more inspirational stuff on my coaching page, or running stuff, or like you know gym stuff and fitness photo stuff, fitness photo shoot stuff, that's all that was showing up on my timeline, and it inspired me. But if I'm just you know liking these 2,000 calorie desserts, people slagging influencers or content creators, or you know people talking about, oh, I was out last night and I'm fucking dying and. Like if you that's all you're liking, you know, that's all that's gonna pop up in your timeline, and that's all you're going to consume, and that's all you're going to think about, and that's all you're going to practice. Okay, so think about who you want to influence you to be a better person, all right? Online and in your life. And then also seek growth Seek growth orientated people. All right. So join fitness classes, join a run club, hire a coach for accountability, or is there anyone in your family that is kind of into the stuff that you want to get into? They could be a runner as well. They could be a PT themselves. All right. Or they could go to a PT and you might ask them for a recommendation or how's it going? Like, how have you found it working with that person? My own friend actually said to me yesterday, I'd love to get into like paddle or Pilates or a run club. Would you be up for it? And I'm like, yeah, I haven't ran since the marathon, but I'm pain free right now. And I might start off like I probably will feel like a beginner again when I start running, but I'd love to, try it to socialize, because if your idea of socializing is going out to the pub every weekend, you're not going to come across the people that you want to be like, okay, they're not going to be in those environments. If you want to, drop body fat, get fitter and stuff, going to these run clubs, going to the gym, going to fitness classes, going to Pilates, going to yoga and stuff, that's where you're going to find the people that you want to be like. And they're the people with the growth mindsets who are going to tell you, you can be anything you put your mind to. Like, yes, fair play to you, girl, you go do that. You go into a pub on the weekend and they're like, ah, would you go way out at this thing moving to Australia? Well, what money? What are you going to do over there? And I had a cousin and all, she didn't like it. She came home and stuff. Like, these people are so small minded. Like, they have just spent their whole life living in the parameters and, in the shadows of what other people think. It's a fixed mindset, okay? You need to start surrounding yourself with people who have growth mindsets. And then if I had to leave you with, I suppose, any questions to ask yourself, okay? Just, it might sound a bit repetitive, I'm sorry, but just audit your circle, identify two types of relationships, growth, supportive, and then also people who are holding you back. Define your boundary language, okay? And make sure like it's friendly boundary sentences, not like fuck you don't benefit my life, get away from me, I'm blocking you. Okay, just be like, look, this is what I'm doing with my life from now on. You either take it or leave it, respect it or leave it. I still want to remain friends with you, but this is what I'm going to be doing. So I just really appreciate it if you didn't hockey me phone out every weekend looking for me to go on the piss. Okay. Or to go around your house two or three times a week to have a bottle of wine and a takeaway. I'm trying to just be better now and I'm trying to moderate my drinking. I mean, if you don't respect that, that's fine. We'll probably just see each other a little bit less, but I'm always here if you need me. Okay. Refrain from social plans and refrain from alcohol like social plans and convert some activities to goal aligned options. Okay. So hiking, paddle, Pilates, yoga, run clubs, etc. Meditation classes. I love going to breathwork classes. I feel like it's the only time in my week where I'm actually present. And then also test a boundary. So decline attempting social plan, right? And see what the response is. If someone is very, very negative about it, you need to question if you need to still include that person in your life. Like I said, keep them at arm, watch them from a distance, be friends with them from a distance, okay? And if they respond in a positive way, I love when I have friends who are just like, oh, no way, like that's great for your play chit and stuff. Oh yeah, no, we can do something else if you want, if you don't want to go for food, if you want to go for a walk instead. That's great if you have friends like that. Like even my own friends, they just know now, like not to, they'll not. They won't not ask me to go to things, but they'll always extend the offer, be like, hey, Anya, we're going for food. Look, I know you're in a calorie deficit at the moment. You probably already had your own meal at home, but why don't you come along and have a Diet Coke or something? And I'm like, yeah, I'll still go and I'll have a coffee or a Diet Coke. Like, it doesn't mean that you can't go. You can still go and have a Diet Coke, but if you go and they're giving you a hard time, maybe it's best not to go if they don't respect your boundaries. And then reflect and plan. So summarize wins and plan next steps, okay? So implement those changes into your life. Audit your circle. Who's impacting you in a positive way and a negative way? And I suppose just watch your progress start to change, or I suppose start to excel when you do start distancing yourself from toxic people, toxic influences, and you start surrounding yourself with people who do bring you joy, who do spur you on, who have a growth mindset, who want the best for you. And the sad thing is, sometimes we're in relationships or we do have friendships or even siblings or parents who don't always want the best for us. They want what's best for them, and what's gonna, like, for example, I have a friend that I wouldn't see all the time for obvious reasons, but I was around him there the other day and, I said, right, I better go. There was a few of us in this particular environment. I said, right, I better go. I'm heading off to the gym. And they were like, a gym? It's a Sunday. And I'm like, yeah, so why would you go to the gym on a Sunday? And I'm like, because it's like any other day. I just want to go to gym on a Sunday. I don't have much on today. So, I'm in a calorie deficit. This is part of my life. I do it like I'm brushing my teeth. Oh, you're mad. I'm like, okay, this is the massive contrast between some people that you have in your life. And then, my other friend said, oh, sure, I went to the gym this morning already. Do you know what I mean? Like people like that in your life, or when you're sitting around them and you're not drinking, and they're like, or you are drinking, but you're only having one or two, and they're already a bottle of wine deep, and they're like, are you still only on that second can? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we're sitting here like 3 hours. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, well, drink up, will you? And I'm like, no, because I only want to have two or three tonight. See, some people drink and they want to get drunk. And then some people drink because they just want to socialize and they just use it to feel a little bit looser, or, I don't know, just a bit of a relief or something like that, and just to chill and unwind. And they look at you and it makes them look at themselves in a mirror and think it's not normal the way I'm drinking. Or they might look at you and think it's not normal the way she's drinking. They make you feel abnormal, but this person's two bottles of wine deep in the space of an hour and a half. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes your friends don't always want what's best for you. They want what's best for them to make them feel good in that moment. So there's a reason why I've distanced myself from that person. But yeah, their dinner would be like a bag of wine gums and a can of Monster, whereas mine would be, rice, curry sauce, chicken, and broccoli that I make at home. So look, you don't judge them for what they eat or what they drink, but you do judge them on how they treat you. But I hope you take something away from this podcast episode. And it does really, really matter a lot about the people that you surround yourself with, okay? And just to kind of if you have no people who inspire you in your life, you be the inspiration, okay? You be the first one to make a change. You be the pioneer. I don't know whether that's the right word. You be the good influence. You let your friends look at you and think it's possible to actually change and do something. Because I guarantee when you do drop the weight and you do change your physique and you're absolutely glowing, those people who are giving you a hard time at the beginning, they're going to ask you how you done it. Same way my friend looked at me and said, you know what, if any can do a fitness photo shoot and pull that off in a 12-week journey, I can do it as well. Okay, so if you don't have any inspiration in your life, you be the inspiration for someone else. Okay, you be the black sheep. You be the one that breaks away from the pack, and breaks the abnormality of being different. Okay, thanks for tuning in this week, and I hope you tune into next week's episode. And if you have any questions or anything, or you want to vent about your own circle, my DMs are always open.